This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
With mighty power, where? By His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. You say, what's the inner man? That's the heart of man. That's the hidden man of the heart. That's the inner man, your spirit. That's where He wants to strengthen you. You see, because when you're strengthened in your spirit, guess what? It affects your body. I said, when you're strengthened in your spirit, it comes out and it strengthens your body. People say, oh, I need some strength. Well, you got to get this strengthened then. If this is depleted, if this is emaciated, then you're depleted and you'll be defeated. You don't want that. No. So don't get depleted down here. Be strengthened with might by His Spirit. With mighty power in where? In the inner man. Who's going to do it? The Holy Spirit's going to do it. How does He do that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14. Come on, Pastor Matt. 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He charges himself up. How many want to get charged up? Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, we know over there in Jude it says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, what? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. So you can get yourself built up by praying in the Holy Ghost, and in so doing, you're going to strengthen your inner man. Now, people, if you're weak today, say, I'm weak physically, then get strong in your spirit. Because when you get strong in your spirit, it's going to affect your physical being, your emotional being, everything. Do you believe that today? I think healing works the same thing. Don't you believe so much, Pastor Matt? You get healed in your spirit. You get your spirit touched by the Word of God and healed. It'll affect your body. Mm-hmm. So let's get strengthened by the Holy Spirit in our spirit, man, and get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Would you welcome this fine young man over here who's going to preach the Word to you today? Come on, let's welcome him. Praise God.
That's good preaching, huh? That's good stuff. Yeah, I want to be strong in my inner man, especially whenever, you know, you're going through, I call it All Saints Day, but some people call it Halloween or whatever, but you can almost feel the oppression, the darkness. So as the darkness gets darker, we have to make sure as the church that we get brighter and stronger. If you quit eating all of a sudden, you're going to lose muscle tone, you're going to get weak, you're going to end up in bed, you're going to die. And so if we quit eating the Word of God or quit feeding our spirit, we're going to eventually get bedridden and pretty much die, and then we'll be just like the world, who is dead in their sin. They might be good people, but they're serving themselves until they serve Christ. Amen? So let's talk, I want to finish this three attributes of revival. When we look at the 120 in the upper room, they had some characteristics that some other people didn't have that kickstarted the church. And I like to say these same ingredients will work in revival today. We talked about last time, a couple weeks ago, if you were here or listened to it, being hungry for God. You want more than just the ordinary. You can be an ordinary Christian, but I would rather be extraordinary for God. I would like to for people to see some kind of light on my life. And that should be your prayer, that when you go somewhere, people come up to you and go, are you a Christian? Because you're like beaming, you know. You ever done that to someone? They go, yeah, that's, I am a believer. And you can say, I can tell because you're beaming with light. But being hungry for God, you want more than just the ordinary. And then we talked about being yielded to God. Yielded to God. We talked about this seed from John 12:24 that unless that kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies first, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels. So for us to produce good things in our life, we have to first die to ourselves. We have to die to our agenda, our own wants. And it's a great thing because we're born with a whole bunch of wants that aren't good for us. You know, now I'm preaching to myself right now, but to want 12 cookies at one time, That's a want, but it's probably not good for you. So God help us to die to those desires and replace them with your desires. So Lord, we want to die. So we got to yield. We have to step back and say, Lord, you flow through me. You speak through me. I'm just your vessel. So let's pick up with on the scriptures in the back there. It's number 6, Mark 16:20. And I want you to, if you're taking notes, write this down. First, we're going to read the verse, then write what I'm about to say. But the verse says, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Isn't that awesome? Guess what? The disciples didn't produce miracles. They did not. All they did was what? They preached. They preached. And then what happened? Jesus performing the miracles through them. So I wrote this down and I heard this somewhere, but the yielding, being willing to speak out, being willing to say something to a crowd, being willing to go somewhere and speak out is our part. The yielding to speak is our part, and the signs following is God's part. So if we do our part, according to this verse, God will do his part. Again, the yielding is our part. We just have to believe. We just have to say to our reasoning mind, shut up. Right? What if they don't like me? What if they throw something at me? What if they're against what I'm about to say? That's your reasoning mind. But you tell that to kind of be quiet, shut up, and you yield to the gospel message. The Bible says go and tell. And so we're just going to yield to that message, go and tell and preach and share, and then let God do the miraculous signs. So we're still talking about yielding to God. And it's a great place to be, because you could be, I've done this before, you could go out on the streets, go somewhere to, with the intention of ministering or talking or sharing the truth with them, and you got no grace for it. You get out of your car, you got no grace. What is grace? You can feel God on you. You can feel the anointing. You got nothing. You're just getting out of the car, you feel nothing. You're walking, you feel nothing. You see someone God's saying, go talk to them. You still feel nothing. No grace. But then you open your mouth and you go to say something like, can I pray for you? And there's the grace. Sometimes the grace doesn't come until we actually speak. 16:20 says they went and preached. Didn't say they went and walked around and prayed for people in their mind. No, they went and preached. So Lord, give us the courage to yield our mouths, to be willing to go, how are you today? Or the Lord's telling me that you are hurting or something. And you could actually not even know your full sentence yet, but you start talking. What is that called? That's called yielding. Being willing to not know everything before you step out. So focus on the going. Don't focus on what God isn't or is going to do. Just be obedient. So these people in the upper room, they laid down their agenda. They yielded these 10 days in the upper room and just waited for this promise of the Holy Spirit. God said, wait. The Bible says he commanded, Jesus commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. And these 120, they yielded to that command. They called their bosses and said, I'm going to be out for a few more days. But if you still want me and I'm done, I'll come and work again. And these 120 yielded to God's outpouring. They cared more about God's will to be done than their will to be done. How much easier would it be to receive what he has for us if we just listened to the words of Jesus and did what he told us to do? What am I talking about? It would be so much easier to receive. So I just want to take a minute, and I want to take a little side journey. But when you think about when you got saved, what two things were involved in your heart change and your spirit becoming alive unto God. Two things were involved: believing and confessing. Believing and confessing. And believe it or not, that is exactly how we kickstart revival in our hearts. By believing that He wants to do it through us and begin to speak it out. God, use me to change a life today. Lord, set me ablaze for You. Let me not just fit, let me not just fit in with the crowd. Lord, let me stand out for You. And that kind of seems like a big deal until you start thinking about how did Jesus sin when He walked the earth? Did He sin? And then you start thinking about this. He's in you. And if He's in you, then you can, and He's operating in you, then you can also not sin, and you can also be used to do what He did because He's in you. And that's the whole identity with Jesus. He's in you. So however He lived and however He conquered and however He withstood every temptation, if He's in you and you're yielding to Him in you with the decision to say, I'm going to do Your will, God, and you're yielding to that, then guess what? The same stuff that Jesus did can be done through us because He's in us. I'm trying to make it real simple tonight, but you believe it? You believe that right there. I begin to say it. God, You're doing miracles in me because You're in me and You're working through me. You're going to see it. That's my little side journey. Maybe we'll come back to some of those thoughts in a minute. But let's talk about this last thought about yielding, and that is 2 Chronicles 7:14. We see that famous revival verse that a lot of preachers like to use. If my people, this is number 7 in the outline, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. That sounds like yielding to me, right? Humble themselves. What is the opposite of pride? Humility. So what do we have to do as a Christian to see a move of God? We have to get rid of pride and be humble. Humble ourselves. The very opposite of being prideful. We have to humble ourselves and pray and seek. This is the Amplified. And crave and require of necessity my face. This is God's face. And turn from their wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So amongst all this, these attributes, here's some more attributes of revival, of seeking, of craving, of praying, and looking at God's face, seeking His face, and repenting, and turning. All these qualities of revival start with what? Humbling yourself. Humbling yourself. Pray every day, Father, burn everything out of me that is not of You. Burn. Repent and keep seeking. So when you look up this humble yourself and pray in the Greek, actually this would be the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, 2 Chronicles, the Old Testament. So in the Hebrew, it actually means judge yourself habitually. Judge yourself habitually. So it doesn't just mean humble yourself one time. But I think every day we have to come to God with humility and say, Lord, I lay my weaknesses at the altar. I lay my things I keep doing wrong at the altar. And I want You to burn them up. And I make a decision to run to You. And I make a decision to keep my eyes on You, to seek You, to crave You. Be the biggest desire in my life amongst everything else that I struggle with, Lord. Be the stronger desire in me. And I found this in some of the studying I was doing. It says self-satisfaction, trying to satisfy yourself, is the death of progress. So think about that. You can't progress as long as you are trying to satisfy yourself. The world's got it backwards. Because, you know, we know the Bible says the last shall be first, right? Same idea. You quit trying to satisfy your earthly, fleshly desires, and you'll start to see God progress you in areas that you have desires that are legit, you know, to be financially stable or to be able to bless others or to live in divine health. These are all legit desires that God has for us, but we can't walk in those things until we die to our self-reasoning or self-thinking, relying on our own understanding rather than acknowledging Him and trusting Him. All right, let's move on to the third attribute, and that is captivated. So we got hungry, we got yielded, and captivated by God. And it kind of resembles hungry, but it's different because being hungry for something is different than just looking at it and enjoying it. I like to eat a cake, but I also like to look at it before I eat it. And being captivated by God is really a desire, desiring God more than life itself. Desiring God more than life itself. We talked about that way back when I started talking about the upper room. Is a relationship with God is key. And you may have never experienced his oil of love dripping on your head. But I encourage you, don't give up until you experience it. You might have to put on 5 hours of praise worship or something. But he draws near to us when we draw near to him. In this culture, we like everything heated up and ready to go in a few seconds. But that's not the heaven's culture. Heaven's culture is, how bad do you want it? Because he responds to hunger. Think about any friendship. It's not going to be a deep friendship unless we spend a lot of time together. And I do a lot of listening. And I do a lot of talking. And we work through problems together. And we bond through the struggles. That's where the deep relationship is formed. They listen whenever I need a shoulder to lean on, or they're there for me. And that's the same way with God. He wants to spend time with you. He wants a deep relationship with you. He wants to captivate your heart. Romans 11:36. For out of him, the sustainer of everything. So what's coming out of him? Everything. He made everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. For out of him, the sustainer of everything, came everything. And now everything finds fulfillment in him. I don't know. That's pretty good. I got to read that again. For out of him, this is the Passion Translation, the sustainer of everything came everything. And now everything finds fulfillment in him. So apart from God, what are we going to be? Unfulfilled, unhappy, and searching. Because we were made to be only fulfilled in him. May all praise and honor be given to him forever. Amen. And then we have this other verse that's very similar to this verse in Acts 17:28. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So let's think about this. For it's in him that we live and move and have our being. And then we have that apart from him, we can do nothing. We find fulfillment in him. So if he's in us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So as I'm moving, who else is moving? He's moving. And I want to move with him. I don't want him to have to move with me. So Lord, where do you want me to do today? And whenever I find my being moving with him, that's where I'm going to find revival and blessing and true happiness and joy. Even in the midst of maybe some backlash, you know? True fulfillment is obeying God and being in a relationship with him and trusting him and letting him flow through you. More of God's presence and life flows out of a love relationship with Jesus. So we talked about this a while back, but it really is true. The more time you spend with him, we have this verse in James 5:16 about prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. What does it produce? It produces tremendous power, available, dynamic in its working. So I'm not afraid to say this. You want more power, you want more of God, then you got to spend more continued time in prayer. There's this evangelist back in the day, his name was William Seymour. He was praying 5.5 hours a day. That's like a work day. So he was taking his work day, probably quit. I don't know what he did, but he was 5.5 hours a day he was praying. And he was praying for revival. He wanted to see his city changed. He wanted to see his neighborhood changed. He wanted to see his state, his country changed. And he did this for 2.5 years. What was he doing? Seeking, craving, drawing near, and wanting to see revival. And guess what God said to him? When he asked God, God, why am I not seeing what I'm praying for? I'm seeing it. He's seeing it in his heart, but why am I not seeing it out there? And God said, you just need to pray more. That's what he told him. Just need to pray more. And that sounds like works, but it's not. You are actually doing warfare in the heavenlies. You're not trying to earn a revival. You're trying to move heavenly realms through your prayer life. And we also see back in this verse, James 5:16, it's a heartfelt prayer. It's not an intellectual prayer. It could be the simplest prayer. But if it's from your heart, guess what? It's effectual. It can even have a little bit of wrong doctrine in it. But if it's from your heart and you don't know any better, God can make tremendous power available. Because that's what he is. I guarantee you we don't have it all right. But he sees our heart. And he's willing to work with that. And as you learn to communicate or commune with Jesus, the anointing will increase. That's why I've gone out in groups before where we go to minister to people, and we get in a circle. One time we got in a parking garage, and it was in Butler, and we just got in a circle, and we just kept praying. We prayed for like probably 20 minutes. What were we doing? We were making tremendous power available because with our heartfelt, continued prayer. And then when you go out, man, you just have the words. People are receptive. Miracles are happening. There's a flow. And I guarantee you that would not happen if I were to be eating a piece of pizza while everybody else was praying. You know, just chewing on that pizza and saying, let me know when you're ready. I'm ready to go, you know. No, it's the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man. So, in closing, if you are thirsty, if you want to be captivated, if you want to be hungry, if you want to be yielded, come and drink. Come and drink. Isaiah 55:1 says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. I'm going to read the Amplified in that same Isaiah 55:1 says, wait and listen. Everyone is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. How could you buy something with no money? Because it's free. It's free. Tremendous power is free when you come and you drink, and you're thirsty. There's nourishment there. There's healing there. Wine and milk represent healing for your stomach sometimes, and milk represents nourishment. And so when you're thirsty, he wants to nourish you. Don't go to other things for nourishment, spiritual nourishment, for soul nourishment. Don't go to other things. Go to Him. I've done vacations and I've done time with the Lord, and I get way more nourished and refreshed in His presence. Psalm 63:1 says, David prayed, "My soul thirsts for you." Why was he thirsty for more of God? Because it satisfied him. Why do you think he kept writing Psalms? Because it was fun. It was enjoyable. He didn't do it out of duty. He didn't do it because his dad said, "Hey, go watch the sheep and write songs." No. No. He was actually entertaining himself in that boring situation by spending time with God. Better than TV. Better than movies and stuff. So as we close, I just want to retouch on this area of believing in your heart. So revival really takes place in our hearts. Revival takes place, believing to be saved takes place, what? In our hearts. And what does the devil mess with so much in our lives? Our hearts. Why? Why does he want to intimidate you? Why does he want you to be in fear? To affect the health of your heart so that you can't produce all that God wants to produce through you and in you. I'm going to read a chapter out of this book. It kind of talks, not the whole chapter, don't worry. It's just a paragraph. Sorry. I didn't mean to scare you like that. I just want to read a paragraph out of this book. It's called Grace, the Power to Change. And it says, Thayer's, it's a Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, says that grace is a divine influence in the heart that does two things. It strengthens and enables. So if we look at grace, and we talk, we say it this way, it's God's ability. Some people say it's, what does grace stand for? God's riches at Christ's expense. But another way to look at it is God's ability working through you. His grace is sufficient. His ability is sufficient. Take any word where it says grace, replace it with God's ability, and it makes a lot of sense. So when I say grace in your heart does two things. God's ability in your heart does two things. It strengthens you and enables you. What does that enable you to do? His ability. His ability. It's not you. It's His ability working through you. But here it starts in your heart. So notice this couple sentences here. Therefore, since the ability of God works in and from the heart, the condition of the heart is paramount when discussing grace or God's ability. In fact, all that God does in us, He does in and through our heart. If He can get you a cold heart, guess what? He just stopped the flow of God's ability in your life. If He can get you so mad at the world, if He can get you bitter, if He can get you angry, if He can get you frustrated, if He can get you unhappy, then He is shutting off, the devil is shutting off God's flow in your life. So how important is the condition of our heart to be healthy? If we really want to walk with God and want Him to use us, it's paramount. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the out. This is 1 Samuel 16:7. On the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Since God looks and relates to us through the heart, it is essential that we heed the admonition of Proverbs 4:23. This is a great verse as you meditate on being healthy in your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What does it mean? Keep your heart healthy. Keep your heart connected to God with all diligence. What does that mean? Work hard at it. Make it a big deal in your life. If someone tells you, why are you complaining all the time? You need to listen to them. Or if someone tells you, you're really negative. You need to listen. You need to pay attention. Because the Bible is telling us, keep our heart with all diligence. Why? So that God's ability can flow through us. All that our lives are flows from the condition of our hearts. As you can well think, I underlined a lot of this because it was speaking to me that I gotta make sure as a worship leader, as a father, as a husband, I need to make sure that I'm making sure my heart is healthy. Or what am I gonna do? I'm gonna be miserable at all of those things. Since grace works from the heart and is the product of faith, it will always be diametrically opposed to the natural mind. The natural mind does things in its own strength. The natural mind will always limit a person to the extent of his own capabilities. Therefore, few people ever fulfill the extent of their call or gifts. So back to this thought. When you accept Jesus, you believe and you confess with your heart and your mouth. That's the same thing that God wants to do with us as we maintain a healthy heart, as we want his ability, right? We preach, and then he does the miraculous signs. It's his ability flowing through us. You know that verse that says, take every thought captive, and then it goes on to say, to the obedience of Christ? This book also brought this to light for me. It's not your obedience that you need to lean on to do the right thing or to be obedient to God or to step out and talk. It's allowing Christ was obedient when he was on this earth. So you take every thought captive by allowing his obedience to also be your obedience. So picture it again. He's in you. He's walking with you. It's his ability that allows you to pray for someone. You feel nothing. And they say, I felt that. That's his ability flowing through you. But your heart, for you to step out and do that, has to believe and confess. Today I'm going to pray for someone and they're going to be healed. And when you step out and talk like that, and you step out and you step out and you say, can I pray for you? You're allowing his ability to flow through you. His obedience. He was obedient unto death. And because we're now partakers of his divine nature, we lean into him, and that same obedience is flowing through us. Does this make any sense? So think about it this way. Jesus was perfect. He did everything right. He did everything good. He did the right thing every time. So if he's operating through us, guess what we can do? The right thing every time. We can know when to walk away. Remember with those times that he walked through the crowd when they were mad and he left? He knew when to leave. Same with us. We can know when to leave, which is important sometimes. So we as believers are partakers of his righteousness. And now we can take the captive every wrong thought. All right, it's 8:02. I did it. I got through all my notes, but I have a few more thoughts, but I'll save them for another time. So let's stand up. Okay, I'll give you one more thought. As you're standing, the Romans 12:2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Think about this. If you don't transform your thinking with the Word of God, what's going to happen? You're going to be conformed to be just like the world. So how important is it for us to be transformed, for us to have a healthy heart, not just to do God's will, but to actually enjoy life? And doing his will is going to bring enjoyment. I love that verse in 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Why? Because he's in us. There's many verses in the Bible that says we are in him and he is in us. So to operate like Jesus, we need to see ourselves as in him and he is in us. I know many of you have stepped out and you've reached out to people and you took that chance and you saw God move. So Lord, help us to continue in that flow, to pray every day, to confess every day that we are his vessels, to, for him to speak through us until our last day on this earth. Lord, we want to be vessels that you speak through, that you use. We want to have healthy hearts to bring revival wherever we go. So let's bow our heads as we close. God, we thank you for this word. Stir us up, Lord, not just to be casual Christians. Lord, help us to be captivated Christians, yielded Christians, and hungry Christians. Help us to partake of your divine nature and see ourselves as your vessels that you flow through in us. Your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. What? Through us as it is in heaven. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in us. It quickens us. And it makes us alive. And all we got to do is believe it and confess it. That's what separates us apart from a sinner, is that we choose to believe it and we choose to confess it and walk in it. So we believe it tonight. We confess it. We are your vessels and we want to be used in these last days to bring light to a dark world. Say it with me tonight. Use me, Lord, to bring light wherever I go. Help me to not care what man thinks, but only care what you think. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.